Welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast. My name is James Kennedy. I'm the CEO and co-founder at Procurement Express, the software that takes the hassle out of managing your company's purchasing with magical features. Today, I am joined by Christian Goldman, the man who changed Procurement Express forever. And we're going to talk about how he did that and the differences it has made to our company and the way we do business, and much more broadly, I guess, the way we all work as a team. So, Christian, you're very welcome to the Gross Profit Podcast.
Thank you very much, James. Nice to be here.
So maybe you could just, for people who don't already know you, maybe you could just tell people a little bit about you and your background.
Awesome. Okay. So I'm born in South Africa, born and bred in Johannesburg, grew up there, went to university in Grahamstown. In my second year, I was selected for pilot's training in the South African Air Force. Went on to become a helicopter pilot. Probably the highlight of my career in the Air Force was being able to fly President Nelson Mandela. In fact, I flew three presidents of the country. I flew FW, I flew Nelson Mandela, and I flew Thabo Mbeki. But the highlight was obviously Nelson Mandela. And so I was fortunate enough to fly him for 4 years whenever he visited Durban, as we were only two VIP commanders at one point on the squadron. So yeah, a lot of fun and very, very interesting listening and talking to the man. So in 2000, I resigned out of the Air Force and with a commercial pilot's license, never wanted to go to the airline, joined the family business, which was based in Portugal. That's where I'm speaking to you from now, the sunny Algarve. And I found some amazing things happened. I found, and I say this with all the respect in the world to every civilian out there, I found that civvies, as we called them, were liars. They would look you in the eye and just blatantly tell you untruths. And that was okay in the civilian world. To get your head around that, coming from a place of absolute teamwork, and the reason I referenced the Air Force is because it was such a powerful place of teamwork. We literally put our lives in each other's hands. Literally. And if you as business owner, so you look around your team, whose life would you literally put your hands in your team? And then you go to the civilian world and you find that the civilian world, it's the exact opposite of that. And so that was quite a difficult thing for me to get my head around. Anyway, I went on to do an MBA through Liverpool. My father died in 2007 and my brother and myself took over the family business. And it was there that the wheels really came off. We had two stand-up fist fights in our boardroom, literally. So you can imagine the dysfunction of that team. And one day, my brother threw a book at me. And the book was that book there, Traction. And he said, I know what the problem is. He says, I'm a visionary and you're an integrator. I said, man, I'm the older brother. I'll tell you who's who here. Anyway, I read the book and it was amazing. It did everything that I was looking for as a business owner. And I mean, we were a pretty successful business. You know, we had 33 people. We were at our peak, we were turning 12.5 million on a 43% margin. That's a good business. You know, and then we went and buggered it up. And I think there's a lot of stories out there on my story. And when I found EOS and I found this book, it had all the answers. It had the answers of how to run a business. It was an operating system for businesses. And so why does it work? Because it's so bloody simple. Is it easy? No, but it's simple. And every business owner, when you talk about EOS, they just go, oh, it's an aha moment. But and there's nothing new to it. That's the like really frustrating part. You know it all. It's just the way it's all packaged, and it changed our lives. And so in 2013, I went in August and I did the course in America. I became an implementer. I was one of the first two international implementers to walk out of EOS and still did the training with Gino himself, and have spent the rest of my life really working with business owners like yourselves and to try and stop the dysfunction that I had in our family business. And basically, my brother and myself wrecked a bloody good business. You got to carry that with you. And if I can just help one business owner, and I mean, your introduction, it was something that just makes my heart sing, you know, changed our business forever. That's what I want to do. That's my why. That's why I'm here. I want to work with business owners like yourself. If I can just change one business owner and help them get their arms around their business in the most functional way, I think I'm good. That's it. I'm as happy as happy. That's my happy space is hearing stuff like that. It's just awesome to hear that. And that for me, success. That's what puts me. Yeah, that's my story.
Yeah, well, the interesting, let's admit something here, which is everyone's suspicious of consultants, you know, and especially when I heard of the EOS, for me, I heard, you know, back in the day, I read the E-Myth Revisited, classic book about, and once I read that book, I realized that's what I want. I want to actually build the business. So I'm an engineer, but I actually want to build the business. I'm not trying to build a personality around anyone. I want to actually build a system that creates all this change, you know, and we all get to have our dream lives on the back of it. And when I heard of EOS, I was like, wait, operating system for my business. I don't know what it is, but I like it. And I want this thing to work like clockwork. But a lot of what was inside was not what I expected. And we, from the get-go, we read the book, we read Traction as well. And this is coming from a place where, you know, Rich and I have never had a fist fight, but I think that's because he knows he would lose. But also because he's got the patience of Job. But, you know, we definitely weren't world-class as an organization. And as we grew at the start, it was me, Rich, Mariska, a little bit later on, Deepak, and we were literally we did everything from the ground up. You know, we all did the sales, we all did the support, we all did the absolutely everything. We knew every nook and cranny of this business, and we were real hands-on because you had to be. But as we grew, and I think the level for us was about 20 staff, 25 staff, we couldn't continue to become more efficient and get bigger and grow the team. We knew that we needed something. So we self-implemented, which is the term where you read the book and you just make it up as you make your own journey to do, you know, EOS. But maybe you can get into that, like just at a high level, like what are the nuts and bolts? What are the components of EOS?
Okay, so the EOS is the model is made up of six key components. And at the top of the model, you've got the vision component. And so the vision component is just all about where are we taking this beast? Where is this business going? And so what we do with the vision component is we create the organization's strategy on two simple pages. That's it. It's a two-page strategy document where we answer eight questions on the organization. What are your core values? What is your core focus? What is your 10-year target? What's your marketing strategy? What's your three-year picture? That makes up the vision side of the document. The traction side of the document is what's your one-year plan? What are your quarterly rocks? Rocks coming from Stephen Covey, most important things that need to get done in the next 90 days. And what are your issues? So if you have a look at this, and if you think about it, we've actually pulled a golden thread through the organization that most organizations don't have. We've identified a long-term goal, 10 to 30 years out, 5 to 10 years out, whatever you choose. So if that's where we want to be in 10 years, where do we want to be in 3 years? And we look at the three-year picture, and now we know where we want to be in 3 years. So it's just this imprinting, this visualization of the organization in three short years. Then we base our one-year goals on this three-year picture, and then we base our quarterly rocks on the 1 year. And so you can see how we pull this golden thread through the organization. Nothing new there, right? So it's quite important. But the number one thing there that's quite fascinating in the vision document is core values. And over time, core values have been made trite, and they've never been more important than they are right now. And I think if you could, you talk about your core values and the exercise of discovery that we did to get the core values of the organization. In other words, they weren't aspirational. So what do we need? We need trust in this team. That's a great core value. We'll have trust. oh, we need integrity. Integrity's a good one. Yeah, yeah. What do you guys think? Yes, let's put integrity out. And then we get this mess that is never going to be anything, and they just sit on a wall somewhere and nobody even knows them. And the thing I love about EOS is every time I have a session, if I just said to the team, pop quiz, write your core values down, you guys will give them to me like that. Not only, but it's not the paper exercise of core values in the teams. It's the reality of that you guys really mean them. So at this point, not to put you on the spot, but what are Procurement Express's core values? And maybe just share them with us, because that puts context into the discussion. So, and you've got, over to you.
Yeah, well, we have the core values are relentless improvement, play to win. I'll leave the one more I was going to say there to the end. Wow the customer, and don't let any really fail, and don't be an arsehole. I won't get banned off YouTube now for saying that. But they were the values that we came up with. Now, I want to go back to this cynicism that people have before they engage with EOS and a consultant. Let me just call the elephant in the room. Because if everything you'd said there, if I'd heard before we'd done it ourselves, I would have heard on a podcast and I go, yeah, that sounds good. It sounds quite academic. And yeah, I know it kind of makes sense. But what I want to do is just put meat on the bones of what it meant for us when we actually did it. Because I think if you're listening to this and you're thinking this sounds like, you know, it's a bill of goods. Yeah, maybe, it's, you know, a lot of people will think that, because I had that. I had that cynicism as well.
Right? Ye of little faith.
And that's what I remember. Actually, I reached out to you, you know, probably a year or two before we started working together. That's right. I'd read the book and we were doing it together, and then we did it and we heard about the fee and we went, holy shit. And then we were like, I was like, okay, well, maybe we can just do this for ourselves, you know? And we kind of did it, I have to say, but we did exactly what I was afraid of. We got the value of what you talked about there. So we came up with values. We did the rocks and we did it, but we did it in a very paper-like way. And what I didn't understand at the time was that there was another side of it, which we needed actually someone to coach us into to get the real value. And I would say by self-implementing it, we got maybe 40% of the value that we've got out of it today. And now when I meet a business owner and they're struggling with this and that, and I say, listen, look at EOS, they go, yeah, you know, and they have that same kind of cynicism because they're getting sold all day long of ways to totally change your business. But I want to try and put some stories behind, you know, what difference it had made for us, you know. Like what dragged me to basically start working with you, and you don't know this, is that I was doing my typical thing. I was running an outbound sales campaign. I was doing the sales management. I was doing hours of calls every day. I was actually basically right in the guts of something, trying to be a Superman, trying to be the hero to show people, embarrass other people into how well and hard I could work in order to embarrass them into working better, which when I say it out loud, sounds like a crazy strategy. But I think it's a thing that a lot of so-called leaders do. It's their management by embarrassment. Look at how well I can do it. Love Why it, aren't you doing the thing? You know,
love it. I'm actually taking I know that we're on a podcast, but that is exactly what you did. That's exactly what I did. I will outwork you that you are embarrassed and that you come in and step up to the plate. What a load of rubbish. And it never worked, did it?
Well, it almost destroyed me. Like, I wouldn't say destroyed me. That's too strong. But, like, I was miserable. Like, it was pretty miserable trying to do that. And you know what really made it miserable? I failed. I fell on my ass. That outbound sales technique was an absolute failure. I ended up having to let go of people who really worked their asses off for us and really worked, you know, did. And through no fault of their own, 100% my strategy and my engagement and lack, because I was unable to make it work, other people suffered, you know. And it was rock bottom. And, you know, there was other things. My mom was dying for cancer. You know, there was all these going around. And it was really, you know, I hesitate to say this in the podcast, but it made me think, well, what am I doing in this business? You know, like where are we going? You know, it was really getting to that stage. And it was only at that, you say you have to hit a rock bottom before you learn to grow. And that was like, okay, it's time to, I've given up. I'm obviously doing a terrible job here. So it's time to bring in the professionals and see who can save us. And that's where we ponied up. We called you again and we brought you in. And, you know, we started to implement this stuff. When you, to me, Christian, when you explain how it works, it all sounds still fairly dry. So I want to put a bit of meat on what difference it makes, you know. And you touched on values there. Like, what I've learned about values is it's not what they are, but that you have them, you know. And in very practical terms, it means now that we're all suddenly where it used to be me feeling like, true or not, because we have a lot of hard workers in the business, it felt like I was dragging water up a hill. And it's changed it to where now I feel lifted. Like I feel like I'm floating, like because everyone is aligned. So what happens in a business? Like, how do you make your values real as opposed to just, you know, words on a wall that everyone walks by every day?
Okay, awesome question there. So if I may, James, I want to go back quickly because we stuck still on the first one of the key components, the vision component, and hopefully we're going to get around all of them. So you mentioned the word consultant, and everybody cringes at consultant. And so in EOS, we don't see ourselves as consultant because the consultant effectively works his way into or her way into your business. What we do is we work our way out of your business. So we are only supposed to spend 2 years with our teams until they get it. That said, and note the sales pitch here, is that most of my revenue comes from my teams bringing me back to run their quarterlies and annuals for them. They just go, you know what? We're going to leave that with you. You just do a better job than we do. That keeps me on my toes, always coming up with something nice. So you've got your program, but there's also things that you can bring into that and just make it exciting, you know, the tools and other stories on EOS. So that must be understood. The whole idea is to work our way out of your business. The exception is staying in the businesses and doing the quarterlies and the annuals for the team. So that's it. Okay, let's get back to values and your question. So why are values so important? Because it takes subjectivity out of everything. It's the handful of rules that guide your business. Now, you said don't let anybody fail is one of your values. And I've heard you use that in one of our sessions. And you used that when one of the team members was talking about somebody that wasn't stepping up to the plate. And you called the core value. You said, hey, but one of our core values is don't let anybody fail. And so that's a beautiful point, because what it meant was, have you, as the leader, because we only work with the leadership team, have you as the leader done everything in your power to raise this person up? And so if you've just got, and if the answer to that is no, shame on you as the leader, not shame on the person. Isn't that amazing? And it takes a big leader to go, shame on me, and to go and appropriate Jim Collins. You know, level 5 leadership looks in the mirror to appropriate blame, not out the window. And that's what the core values do. The core values of an organization, and it's a handful of rules, 3 to 5 core values. And this is just your handful of rules. This is it. You don't have 50,000 rules in this business. You know, that's it. Those are your core values. That's what guides you. And everything that you do, it's around these. And they are, anybody in the organization can call you out on a core value. Just think about that. Think about that. You've got to, as the business owner and founder, somebody can call you out on a core value. How about that? And when you can do that, it's no longer a paper exercise. And what people don't understand is that what builds the culture of this business? And so in a business, and what we've got to state here very, very clearly is that core values are discovered. They exist. Whether you like them or you don't like them, they exist in every single business. So every business owner watching this right now, think about 2 things. What are the unwritten ground rules that are good in your business And what are the unwritten ground rules that are bad in your business? And what we do in EOS is we pull out the good. We do an exercise to see what exists, and we pull out what exists. So we don't go and make shit up, which most leadership teams do when they do the core value exercise. We actually go and pull out what exists, and we distill it down into the 3 to 5 main core values of this organization. And then we bullet point what each core value really means. Because the same two organizations can have the same wording as a core value, but they mean totally different things to that organization. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that you as a team, as an organization, understand exactly what is this core value. Don't let anybody fail. And there's, when you gave your core value speech to the organization, there were the bullet points that what makes that up? What defines that for your business? Because it might be very different for my business and for Joe Bloggs's business. So that's what makes it no longer a paper exercise. When people really call each other out. So peer-to-peer accountability, hold each other accountable to the core values. You have something amazing in the organization. You start to develop culture. And there's something even more important to that. And it comes out of, again, Jim Collins's book. And I think it was Jim Collins that quoted it in Entrepreneurship 2.0. And what he said is that it's probably the most important thing that any business owner can do. And it's the most beautiful thing that you will ever do as a business owner. It's because it's you're making a decision as to how we want to behave in this business. Isn't that fantastic? We're defining what ideal behavior looks like in this business. There's no gray area. There's no, you know, we're not gonna accept anything outside of this. This is our line in the sand. This is behavior we accept, and this is behavior we don't accept. And it's across the board, from the top to the bottom. And I hate saying the bottom, because every single person in a business adds value to the business. So what I mean by that is that anybody can call anybody out on a core value. And so this culture develops, and it attracts people to your business. And likewise, it's going to expunge people from your business. They're going to say, "Are you wrong? And this is not right." And, you know, heat the court and dark the lung, to quote a bit of good Afrikaans there. And they're going to leave. But they were never the right people for your business. And so that leads me on to something, which is, how do we define the right people for your business? And that's actually the second key component, is the people component. And so the right people for your business share your core values. How about that? And so I've always said to you, if you hire a new hire, I've always said, did you talk them out of the job with the core values? That's not to be a smartass. I would have you on your core values if you didn't talk somebody out of the job on your core values. And so you're going to see one of two things happen. Somebody's going to just get bigger and bigger and bigger in the seat, or they're going to get smaller and smaller and smaller and just say, "Let me out of here. I want to go now." And you're going to hire the right people for your business through your core values. And there was I had a really awesome little experience with one of my teams in South Africa. And so one of the integrators phoned me up on a Saturday. And my phone goes, and I see it's one of my team. I think, "Saturday, they don't normally call me on a Saturday. Something serious, but you know, hi, what's the problem?" And she said to me, she said, it works. "You're right. Okay, I know it works, but what part just worked?" She goes, "I had this amazing person in front of me. We were offering $25,000 for the job. She'd already been offered a $30,000 with this and with that. And I spoke her out of the job with our core values. And she just said to me, 'Can I join? This is where I want to be, because I just resonate with those core values. And the other company, it's not about the money. It's about the core values.'" So core values are so bloody important to the business owner. And they make such a massive difference, because you'll never have a hiring mistake again. Think about that. Think about the cost to a business owner on a hiring mistake. I mean, that's like, it's phenomenal. And just think about, if I could just say to you, in the tick of a, you know, the wave of a piece of paper, a core value speech, you'll never have a hiring problem again. How about that? Isn't that worth, what is that worth to the business owner?
I mean, it's great. Like, your point about the money, like, it just feels so good to know everyone is here. Let's call it, in spite of the money, you know, we try to pay people well, but like, you know, but that's who you want to be surrounded with. Like, when you go to a club, like a sports club or any group and whatever, you're there, you're not getting paid, but you're there for another reason, which is the reason you feel like a team, you know? Same time, it reminds me of the local, in our office in Somerset East in South Africa, the local priest came to me and he had a problem getting people to church every Saturday. And he was, you know, it was one of these small English churches there. And he said, you know, you guys have a big office there and you have lots of people coming in every day. I was hoping you could like share me, you know, how can you get people to come every day, you know? I said, Dermody, we pay them. That's how we get them to come. You know, but you can get paid lots of places. And, you know, the big difference that's changed for, you know, and the feeling of our company now is that we are people, you do feel like it's not, you know, they can all get paid in lots of places, but they choose to be here. And that changes the whole dynamic. And setting those, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about what you changed in our business to make a difference. But like you can put them down in a document and not really reference them. And that's what we did for a long time. And what I had to learn was actually I didn't view leadership as something that needed time, that needed effort and needed to be actually done. I thought you just sort of wrote it down and then that was it. But a big thing that you have forced us to do is just repeat and drill that into the business. So every time we hire someone, we focus on those values. Every time we have a group meeting, we focus on the mission and the target and the rocks and the, you know, values. And the first time you think first time you do it, it's like, you don't know if, you know, people just sort of sit there. Second time they sit there, and then the third time and fifth time and tenth time, like, well, this guy isn't letting it go. And suddenly you kind of fake it till you make it. Suddenly people do start quoting the values. Suddenly they do know where we're going. They know why we're there. And that transforms things. It's no longer, it's like floating. Like it's literally like floating, you know. But it takes that time and effort to evangelize, let's say that word. And that's something that I would never have scheduled in my diary is time for that. But you need to schedule that time. Someone needs to take it seriously as a job, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So look, there's a lot more to EOS, and I don't think we're going to have a chance to go through all of that. But I think there's a story I want to get to, which is, you know, the dynamic between Richard and myself that we came in and you saw something was off.
Yeah. So, okay. So quite an interesting point there. So watching the two of you, from my perspective, is Richard was the doer and you were the dreamer. And we had you in the doer's seat, not the dreamer's seat. And we had Richard in the dreamer's seat, not the doer's seat. And to put that into context, in EOS, we have something that we call the accountability chart. Similar to an organogram, but an organogram is the most dysfunctional tool you'll ever own in a business. The accountability chart just says who is accountable to deliver what to who. And the top two seats are visionary, integrator. Integrator, for anybody watching this, would probably be the COO, the CEO of your business, if you wanted to put a C-suite name to it or label to it. And I saw you in the integrator seat and Richard in the visionary seat. And you guys were exactly in the wrong seats. And it took a while for me to say that and to say to you, hey, James, you need to be there. Rich, you need to be here, until you swapped it around. And when you swapped it around, I still remember one of our, and I can't remember if it was a quarterly or an annual, and you just turned around to the team and you actually said it to everybody. You just said, guys, thank you for allowing me to be the visionary. and we put you into your happy space where you, I think, are operating at 99.9%. And you just operate there. Rich is getting stuff done in the organization. He's a doer. Rich is like me. I'm an integrator. They give me something. I'm not a visionary. I don't see the big picture out there. But when you've got somebody who does see the big picture and can filter it down to me and say, hey, listen, you know what? I think we should do, I'll go, okay, leave that with me. I've got that. And that's what Rich saw. And I think that's what we all saw in you. And swapping the two of you around was probably the best thing that happened to your business. And I'm sitting right now with the same dynamic with another team. The visionary and the integrator are on the wrong seats and they need to be swapped around. Except this time, I'm going to talk about it earlier, and I'm going to say it quicker than I did with you guys, because it's a hard thing to come in and say to a business owner, hey, listen, you're in the wrong seat, buddy. You've got to change. But when you can see how that all works, and when you've worked with enough leadership teams, and you understand what the visionary role is, so the visionary, to put context to this for anybody that's listening to this, is the visionary is the guy that's got the big picture. He's the guy with the 1,000 ideas. He's the guy that really has a grip on this business and can really see out there and see what's coming, has this awesome ability to look into the future and say, that's the route we got to take. The problem is that only one out of 20 ideas that you have are really good. And we've got to have a guy like Richard that's going, whoa, James, easy tiger. Let's just take this one and run with it. Because you, as the visionary, it's never fast enough. It's never quick enough. It's never enough. And so it's all about just moving goalposts to sort of, you know, and the business stalls. The business just sits in the state of limbo, goalpost move, read a new book. Hey, let's do this. Then another book. No, okay, let's do that. Then flavor of the month here. Then go back there. And so the organization doesn't know where it's going. And I call it flatlining. So the business it's doing okay. It's just flatlining. You're not, you know, every now and again, you get a beat and a spike and that keeps you going. But when we put the visionary in that seat and we filter the visionary, filter, I say with all the respect in the world, they filter the visionary through an integrator, and the two of them operate like this well-oiled machine, that business can only do one thing, and that is just grow. And that's exactly what's happened with you guys. I mean, look at our leadership team today, how we've grown. Look at how the business has grown where we are right now. And so you're operating where you really fit. And Rich is operating where he really fits, and the business feels it. The business gets it. The leadership team is, there's this sense of tranquility in the business, in the leadership team. There's no longer this hype that you were bringing into it. Not that there's anything wrong with the hype. We want the hype, but we want the hype up there, and we want the hype filtered through Richard, and then we'll take your one good idea out of the 20. And that's why we've got that long-term issues list, that when you do come up with a good idea and it's not for this quarter, we put it onto that issues list and we tackle it in the next quarter. And that becomes important as well, that we've got a parking place for your ideas, not that they just disappear, because there are good ideas. It's just we've got to go at the pace of the organization. So yeah, it was massive for me. That was just another proof of the pudding of EOS. It's just, before, who would have explained it? What system out there today actually talks about that dynamic in an organization? How many organizations, how many people out there are stalling because of themselves? It's not because they're bad people, it's just because they don't know the dynamic. They don't know the dynamic of visionary integrator. And when they get that and understand that, an amazing thing happens in the organization. And so that said, not every business has a visionary, and there's nothing wrong with that either. There's a lot of businesses that don't have a visionary, but that have a visionary board. So they make up this board with a couple of the team members, and decide on the vision and then go back and act on that vision, deliver on that vision. Nothing wrong with that. That business is also going from success to success to success. But in a lot of the teams that we work with, probably a little bit more than 50%, we see this amazing human being called a visionary. And yeah, they just exist. And you're fortunate to be one of them, sir.
I think the reason that we would not have made this change without you, Christian, is that for like most reasons, is to do with ego. You know, like it wouldn't have been possible for me to admit that I was bad at some of this implementer stuff. Or it's not even that I was, you know, I was bad. Let's face it, Rich is better. But actually, I didn't believe in the value of what you're calling a visionary there. Like I didn't see the value. And you don't know this, but to this day, I mentioned the skepticism people will have when they hear this, which is natural sales resistance. But then, you know, so I wanted to see the numbers. So I saw the numbers in our turnover and growth for sure. I mean, we've been up more consistent growth, you know, and on the numbers wise, the business is clearly doing well. But I was curious about like, is team health really better? So I've been tracking our team health with something called a Westrum survey, which comes out of an organization or out of Google. Well, it's part of, there's a whole movement around this thing called DevOps and how to work, build an effective business. It came out of a lot of the stuff that Google promotes, but they have a Westrum survey and puts numbers to what you were talking about at the beginning of the interview, things like team health, you know, do people feel psychologically safe? Is failure treated as an opportunity for learning or for punishment? And there's a number of different. So I've been tracking this since we started working with you, and all those numbers have all improved since we have been doing it. So that shows me in black and white that, yes, we are definitively working better as a team by making this change, you know? And so therefore, it's not just in my imagination. I always think of it, I think of leadership as seeing monkeys in a tree. When you're at the top, you see people smiling. And when you're looking up, what do you see? We see the rear end of a monkey. So I wanted to get numbers around that, and I found those numbers, and it's true. And now, you know, in things that I'm organizing, it's the one single piece of advice I have for anyone running a business is, listen, your business has 1,000 problems, and I can't possibly, in this 4-minute conversation, help you with any of them. All I can tell you is put this system in, and it'll probably get rid of at least 50%, you know? At least it will be, well, you're trying to reinvent how to run a business well by yourself, making it up on the fly. You're probably terrible at that. So why not just take this system off the shelf, and it'll improve your business in ways that you, in truth, the promise doesn't really describe the difference it'll make your business. It'll change your feeling a bit in the business. Everyone will be working more effectively. High achievers are happy and enjoying their job. And if you want to be high achieving, you got to be happy and enjoying your job. And that's something I think, I know because I've tested for it, that everyone would say is better now than it was before. And we're seeing those results in our P&L. So that's it.
Yeah, and that's really important for me to hear that, because the whole idea is that the business grows and the business gets better. And that is the satisfaction that I get from doing this. So is to see businesses growing. And so you mentioned something interesting. You mentioned Google earlier on, and I want to pull something in, if I may. It's about a thing called Project Aristotle that Google did. And in a nutshell, what they did was they looked at their best performing teams, and they did this last year. And they said, why are they the best performing teams? And so they came up with 5 definitive points that separated the best performing teams from the not so good performing teams. And the 5 points were this. The first one is psychological safety. So everybody in the team felt that they could put anything on the table. What are we talking about here? Team health. What does EOS do? Vision, traction, healthy, team health. So that's taken care of by EOS. And why this was so interesting for me was Google discovered this last year. EOS, Gino discovered this 20 years ago when he put EOS together. He knew this and he cobbled EOS together knowing all of this. And the second point that they found was dependability. And what that meant is team members, they're dependable. They get stuff done on time, on target, no excuses, and they're just with a high level of excellence. And that's EOS. That's what we do. That's what a rock is. That's what a quarterly rock is. That's what our core values are. That's what our core focus is all about. It's just, it's all about that dependability. And then the third point was that there was structure and clarity. And so what does EOS do more than anything else in the business? Creates clarity, creates absolute clarity on where we're going, who delivers what to who, the accountability chart and the people component. And so there's no questions anywhere. It's just we've got this beautiful structure that everybody knows what they're accountable for. And there's organizational clarity. I mean, could you ask for anything more in your business other than to have organizational clarity? The fourth point was meaning, that the work that they're doing gives meaning. Listen to your intro this morning, what you said, and forgive me for not knowing it by heart, but that you gave your core focus, you gave your purpose, cause, and passion. What does that do? It creates meaning amongst your people. And so, you know, when you think about these things and it's just words, right? It's a vision statement or a mission statement. It's not. It's the work is personally important to people in this business. And you can't pay for it. You can't buy that in people. That is part of the culture that comes with it. And then the last one, the fifth point that Google found was that the work had impact. And look at the work that you guys are doing. Look at the impact you're creating on, you're an international company, you're based in South Africa. You know, it's when I talk about impact, you probably as a business owner, you just see, oh, well, look at our community and that, but it's not about that. It's about, think of the families that your business looks after. Think of the impact that the people in your business have on the local community. And that's huge. I don't think, maybe you do, but I don't think you understand. I don't think anybody gets, as a business owner, you don't look at that thing. You don't look at the bigger picture. And impact is so massive, you know, and it's just an amazing thing having this organization in your local area and what you do for your local community versus if this business wasn't there and looking after that local community. So impact is huge. And I think everybody in the organization also gets the impact of this business. And if you sort of cobble all that together, Google just found that up last year. I'm going, really? Seriously? Hey, boys, you need to come and have a chat with us. Because we knew this, or Gina knew this like 20 years ago. We've been teaching this to organizations for 20 years. And it's just the most beautiful thing in the whole world is to actually be a part of that and do that. So yeah, very, very interesting. It's a fascinating system and it really does make a difference. Eh? And that's, I think, what the kick is. That's the why. That's the what makes it fun. You know, every day is fun. And
yeah, well, I think, you know, for people who are cynics like me, or were cynics, you know, go Google Project Aristotle, you see the math behind it there. You know, Google wasn't doing this to be happy clappy and thought, they were doing it for performance. And there the outputs are what they are: psychological safety and teamwork and mission, etc. And if you want to get that, I can't see any better implementation than I've found than the US. Christian, how can people get in touch with you?
So either on through LinkedIn, I've got a LinkedIn profile, or they can get hold of me at chris.goldman@eosworldwide.com. Yeah, that's about it. Eh? Or you can go onto the EOS website and you can go and have a look, and you can look me up and so depending on the area that you're in, sort of my areas that I operate in are Europe and Africa. And so if you're watching this and you're in America, please go to the EOS website and have a look at the EOS website. There's a lot of things there that can also help you as a business owner. There's a lot of free tools that are available. There's There's an organizational checkup that's available to you. And so you can have a look at these things, or they can get hold of you, James, and you'll refer them to me. So, so that's just chris.goldman, and that's Goldman, G-O-L-D-M-A-N-N, at eosworldwide.com. And now be happy to have a part of our proven process is we do a 90-minute meeting, and that is with the leadership team. Just have a great discussion, and it's just a masterclass on what your business will look like at the end of the two-year journey with EOS implemented, ideally. So if you do everything right and you do it 100%, and that's not what the goal is, the goal is 80%, that's where you'll be. So yeah, that's it. So awesome.
And that meeting is gratis, as I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. It's free, gratis, and for nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Christian, thank you very much for joining today. If you are interested in finding out more about Pyramid Express and where we come from, I recommend you listen to the interview I did with Richard, my co-founder, on the podcast. And yeah, Christian, thanks a million.
Great stuff. James, thank you very, very much. Take care.
So that wraps it up for another episode of the Gross Profit Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever it is you get your podcasts.